Thank you, Jay. So today we conclude our series called Thy Kingdom Come. We started off the first week talking about how the kingdom of God was central to Jesus' teaching. But when we hear the phrase the kingdom of God, we often think of it as a place, many of us even heaven. But when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he is referring to his reign over all of creation, which includes heaven, but also every nook and cranny of earthly creation, including our hearts and our lives. And if we are really excited about going to heaven where God's reign is complete, we need to learn to live under that reign now. Last week we spoke about how Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God before anything. Because whether we know it or not, there is always something that we orient our lives around, something that we worship. And it is only the kingdom of God that is eternal and paints a grand enough picture that is able to bring meaning and purpose to the rest of our lives. And today we conclude this series, and I want to start off by showing you a commercial that I really like.
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated? Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay.
Some of you may have seen that commercial before. It's actually an AT&T commercial telling you that just having an okay wireless connection isn't okay. But I love this commercial because, one, it's funny, but also because it, in general, points us to something we can all agree on. For most things in our lives, just okay is not okay. I think we can all agree on that. We all want the best for the people around us, the best for ourselves, our children, our parents, our friends, our family, and we also want what's best for the world. But deep down inside, we know that there is something that is not right, that the world is broken, that there is currently just too much strife in the world, that at times there's just too much brokenness in our own personal lives, too much dysfunction in our relationships, that just getting through it isn't good enough because just okay is not okay, especially when it comes to the most important things in our lives. So, the middle of last week, I was pretty sick with the flu and was quarantined in my bedroom. And I had more time than I normally do to watch TV, and I turned on the news. And I found a lot of people telling me how things should be. Almost every single one of them had an opinion on what is wrong with my life, what is wrong with the world, and what is needed to fix it. And the frustrating part was that every single news channel that I turned on had a completely different vision of what that should be, that often directly opposed one another. And I wasn't just getting facts, I was getting a lot of opinion on what was wrong and what it would take and what was needed to fix it. And then I saw commercial after commercial telling me all the things I needed to make my life better. A new iPhone, a faster internet connection, face cream to make me look younger, nacho fries from Taco Bell. There were a lot of Taco Bell commercials. So after a while, I just had enough of being enticed and persuaded and just decided to take some NyQuil and just go to sleep. Unfortunately, it was only like 1 p.m. at that point, so I got up shortly after. But there are a lot of worldviews that are just thrown at us constantly. A lot of opinions on the way things should be. A lot of people telling us what to believe and what to think, and most importantly, how to live. And we are just constantly getting bombarded with images and words that are trying to dictate to us what should be. In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul reminds the Roman church how they are supposed to live in a world not that different from the world we live in. The church in Rome was at the center of entertainment and politics, fashion, economics, cultural persuasion, and had many of the same draws that we have today. And Paul writes them this message. Let's read this together. It comes from assorted verses in Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Type of advice I was hearing when watching TV last week. This view of living cast a much different vision for how to live than what we normally hear. Now, each one of these verses could have been a sermon on their own, but in totality, it talks about our need to live by a different standard. A standard defined by God's reign on our lives. Not just to react and conform to the world, but to set the tone for the people around us. Now, often when we hear the word world or read the word world in the Bible, we generally hear it in two different ways, one positive and one negative. We hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and when we hear about it in this context, it's referring to everything that God has created. In many cases, referring directly to human beings. God loves humanity. God loves the world and everything and everyone in it. But in other places, when we see the term world in a negative context, it's referring to value systems that directly oppose God's desire for the world. Systems built on envy and greed, pride, lust, and selfishness. Systems that, as Jay mentioned this morning, that don't point us to love of God and love of neighbor. Human systems that tell us to devote ourselves to the world's treasures and the world's priorities. So when Paul tells us not to conform to the world, he doesn't mean that we're supposed to physically separate ourselves from people that are different from us or only talk to people that are like us. We are called to live in this world, but are reminded not to give in to the values and the principles that oppose God's reign. And to keep God's reign, the kingdom of God, as the central driving force in our lives. Because if we don't focus on the vision that God has for our lives, we often fall prey to our environments. Because in many ways, we are products of our environment. We come to life with our own experiences, both good and bad, which makes us who we are. And we have a tendency to reflect back what we first received. So if you grew up surrounded by a lot of hatred, your tendency may be not just to internalize it, but also to act it out yourself. Or if you grew up around a lot of negativity, you may find yourself eventually reflecting that negativity out into the world. Or if you work in an environment where everyone is just looking out just for themselves, after a while, you often begin to look out only for yourself. Or if you are hanging out only with people who like to gossip and tear each other down, after a while, you begin to emulate that type of behavior. Even in the moment, we are kind of like reactive people. When people are mean to us, what's our first inclination? It's generally to be mean right back to them. Or if we feel snubbed, our first reaction is many times to just snub someone right back. In many ways, we're like mirrors. We reflect back what we receive from the world. And often the people that around us reflect what we reflect right back to us. And this is what happens when you have two mirrors facing each other. And I'll kind of trip you, right? You continue to reflect back and forth. And it seems like there is like an infinite reflection going on that goes on forever. But in reality, there is only so much light to begin with. So what happens is the image continues to fade and fade. And as you see, it gets smaller and smaller, but it doesn't go on forever because eventually there's no more light left to reflect and there's just darkness at the end of it. But this passage that we read shows us that we are not meant to just reflect back to the world what the world gives to us. Instead, we are called to be more like a window. Now, a window generally serves two functions, right? First is to bring light into the room. And second, it's to be able to give you a glimpse or a preview of what's outside the room, where the light is coming from. So I wonder, when people encounter us, individually and as a church, do they find a mirror? More of the same, or more of the same of what they find everywhere else they go, or do they find a window, a preview of something more beautiful, a place where they can find light coming in? I don't think it's any coincidence that the book of Acts, the book of the Bible that gives us the history of the birth of the church, starts off with Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God and ends with the apostle Paul proclaiming the kingdom of God. As a church, we are meant to be a preview or a foretaste of what heaven is like. A foretaste of what it looks like to live under the gracious reign of God. A foretaste that should get people excited about the real thing. In many ways, our lives together as those who assemble together under the lordship of Christ has a power to show the world a different way. Many of you who are serving on committees have been doing an exercise where you are filling out a discipleship map, thinking through how what we do matters and fits into bringing people closer to Jesus. Because we believe that everything we do here as a church means something, that we have something to offer the world that only the church can offer. That we have a shared vision of a good and fulfilling life and want to help each other and the people around us to pursue that type of life. Because we believe that our lives can serve as a window into heaven. Where people can look at us and say, wow, so that's what it looks like when love overcomes hate. That's what it looks like when power is used to serve. That's what it looks like when people live in harmony. That's what it looks like when generosity overcomes greed. That's what it looks like when justice overcomes oppression. That's what it looks like when gratitude overcomes envy. That's what it looks like when humility overcomes pride. That's what it looks like when hope perseveres. That's what it looks like when strangers are welcome. That's what it looks like when the dignity of all people is affirmed. That's what it looks like when good overcomes evil. Now, isn't that the type of people we want to be? Because that's what it looks like when the reign of Christ, the kingdom of God, is reflected in our lives together as a community. And that's the kind of vision that we can set for the people around us. Not just when we are together, but every single day. At the grocery store, when somebody cuts in front of you, or when someone decides to say something negative towards you, sure, you can choose to be a mirror. Or you can choose to be a window and give them a glimpse of something more glorious and beautiful, something more meaningful, the kingdom of God, a glimpse of the grace that we have come to know in Jesus Christ. Our church is pretty well known for this window. A lot of times when I'm around the neighborhood and I meet people not from this church and I tell them that I serve here, they say, oh yeah, that church with that beautiful window. And it's difficult for us to see right now with all the lights on, but if you come here in the middle of the day and the sun hits it just right, you see these beautiful beams of light that are coming around the cross. And the darker the sanctuary is, the more beautiful this window looks. It really is a sight to behold. My prayer for you and for me is that our lives, every day, no matter how dark things may seem around us, can be a window that allows God's grace to break through it, giving people a glimpse into the kingdom of God that has the power to change their lives and points us to the source of eternal life. Because when it comes to God's desire for the world, God's intention for the world, just okay is not okay. Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, Lord, we just give you thanks for the fact that you love the world so much you decided in Jesus Christ to enter it, to restore and to begin the process of renewing it. We come acknowledging that what matters most to you hasn't always been a priority in our lives. That we have tried and failed many times to follow you. But we also know that on the cross, your grace has overcome our sin and your righteousness has called us forward. So we ask that you continue to shape and to mold us to be people who acknowledge your reign and allow your light and beauty to flow through us and into this world that you love so much. So we give our lives to you and everything we have as we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.